This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Mazz. We got a lot of Marcus Smart chatter based on that report today. Multiple reports have the Celtics and Smart engaged and back on track for an extension. 4 years, between $46 and $50 million. I'm surprised by it. Feel like the Celtics are bidding against themselves. Mazz is fully in favor, thinks it's the good move, the right move, and has absolutely zero problem with it. We also have the Kawhi Leonard trade to the Raptors. Does that make the Raptors a real factor against the Celts? But more interestingly, Jimmy Stewart believes the Celtics were in on that, offering Kyrie Irving. The Celts offered Kyrie Irving, he believes. Furthermore, Stu believes that Kyrie Irving is a legit flight risk this year and at the end of the year. Thus, may not even make it through the offseason, that Danny Ainge might deal him before the season even starts. Your thoughts on that? We circle back with some Patriots thoughts as well. We've left the Red Sox. We've been heavy Red Sox the last couple days, so we haven't done much on that today. We can mix it back into the final hour if you like. It's really up to you. So we'll go to your phones. There's one open line if you want to grab it, 617-779-0985. In the meantime, Ben in the car, what do you got for us on Kyrie Irving?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. My piece on Kyrie Irving, I'm trying to figure out why he's, you know, sort of been so selfish over the years. And I feel like it goes back to he was the man in high school. Then he barely played in college and had to deal with sharing the spotlight. Then he was the man in Cleveland. And then he obviously hated his time with LeBron. So he ran himself out of town. But if Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge can't get him to sort of focus on a team mentality, I think it's sort of hopeless for him at this point, and he'll just sort of follow his whatever selfish ways he wants at this point. Just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to bash him and say he's a bad guy, but I think he's sort of a typical NBA superstar. Weaned in typical NBA superstar fashion. AAU, one and done. I'm the man, and it's my show. And movies and crossover stardom is important to me, and me being my own boss, or, you know, me running my own show and me being the focal point is important to me, and all these things. And there's a lot of guys like that in that league. He's just another one of them.
I mean, if he goes to the Knicks over the Celtics, if he leaves the Celtics and goes to New York, then it's not about winning. It's not. And to me, then you take a major hit. Like, you know, and it's one thing to be LeBron and change teams and completely alter the culture. LeBron is a generational player. This guy's great. Don't get me wrong. But does Kyrie going to the Knicks make them a championship team overnight?
No, even if they got Jimmy Butler and he has Porzingis there, and he's, you know, there's no way. Like, that team's not going to compete and really be a true contender for a few years.
Kyrie Irving, Butler, and Porzingis?
I don't think they're quite championship caliber.
That's really good, though.
But that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
And getting better, right? I mean,
and sure, if this Knox kid pans out to be anything, that's really good.
And that Nalakini kid's okay. It doesn't matter. James Dolan's still the owner. He's an idiot, and they're not going to get out of their own way. He wants to go there for the adulation of being the guy that resurrected the New York Knicks. That's it. Well, and it's about wanting to be a big movie star.
Look, he's winning championships in Cleveland. He doesn't want to be there. He's in, you know, no worse than the second best program in the entire league that's going to be knocking at the door, if not winning championships for the next 10 years. And presumably, he doesn't want to be here. So, what? I mean, what do you want, dude? Like, so it's a Mazz's point.
Exactly.
It's not about winning.
No, at that stage, you sort of just throw up your hands and say, forget it. This guy's a loser. Like, you know, if it comes to that. Now, look, I you know, I have no idea. I hope he stays. I want them to keep the guy. And I think if he's smart, he will stay here because they got a pretty good thing going.
Here's Graham right here in Dorchester on the on the Kawhi Leonard trade. Hi, Graham. What do you got?
What's up, fellas? Hey, so I hear you guys talking about the possibility of after that 60-day window closing and making that trade for a couple of the young guys out in L.A. for Kawhi. And I'm a little confused. It makes sense for the Raptors, but if I'm Magic Johnson, why am I giving up all that young talent midway through the season when I can just wait until the end of the season? And if I'm getting those guys for pennies on the dollar, why am I, you know, trading those guys instead of having them along with Kawhi?
You're right.
The following season.
You're right. And the answer is you promised LeBron, and you got LeBron telling him you do everything you could to win as quickly as you possibly could, and that's your direction, and that was your promise to LeBron James, and so that's why you do it.
Yeah, if they're really competitive and you get the assurance from Leonard that he's going to sign there long term, you pull that trigger.
Well, but the college points, if you're thinking about
the
smarter long-term play is to just sign him for nothing in return. And you still have then your young assets to go at another player to add to LeBron and Kawhi. And The caller's right. Graham's right. That's what you do if you're the smart long play for the Lakers is to do that. But what if you told LeBron, we'll do everything we can to win right this second?
Go back on your word. You get him on a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
So, so the last 2 years, LeBron, you'll have Kawhi. Shut up.
I mean, it's a good point. Gary is in Maine on Marcus Smart. How'd you feel about, how do you feel about 4 at 48, Gary?
I think they should have went 40 to 44. Because I think you're right. They're actually they're not competing against anybody. And also, I was wondering what the draft pick is on the Leonard trade.
It's a horrible pick. It's top 20 protected.
Correct.
Top 20. So, like, that's nothing. That pick is a non-factor in that deal.
Which means, again, at best, it's 21st in the draft.
So, that's all about DeMar DeRozan. The Spurs would rather have had DeMar DeRozan than Kyrie Irving. And that's not in a vacuum. You know, DeMar DeRozan has 2 years left and Irving has one. But still, I find that interesting.
Sure. And look, I think Murray's on to something, too. That Popovich looked at it and said, I am going to bury you in Canada. That's what I'm going to do.
Probably.
I am going to bury you in Canada. Good luck. You can finish there. Let me know if you see the Mounties riding around while you're in there while you're up there. Let me and also you might want to check out the Leafs. I hear they have a good team. See you later.
That part's awesome. I mean, it's been LA. Whether it's the Clippers he wants the Clippers, or sure he'd take the Lakers too, wants to go back home, be in California. Go to Canada.
Canada.
You know what? I like that part of it too, because I think the players in that league have too much power, and I'm into balance, man. I am. I like to see some checks and balances, and if this is Popovich reclaiming a little bit of power, or at least turf, temporarily or not, for the ownership and management and coaches in that league, then fine. I'm in.
Max in the truck. Hi, Max. What do you got for us today?
Hey, what's up, guys? I wish the Patriots had just paid Panny Amendola.
I watched that
AFC Championship game last night, and they don't go to the Super Bowl without him. I just wish that Bill Belichick, if there's anybody that they should have paid this offseason, was Danny Amendola.
Agreed 100%.
My sister actually ran into him and Julian Edelman Saturday night in Boston, and one of the questions she asked him was, why didn't you sign with the Patriots? And he goes, I wanted to, but they didn't offer me close to the deal that the Miami Dolphins did. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay. I could not agree more that's the one guy I would see. Nate Solder's more important, but he got bananas money, and so I sort of understand. Brandon Cooks, young Deion Lewis, I'm never overspending for any running back, so never mind. See you later. Like, I can walk myself through all of these. Danny Amendola for $6 million guaranteed, it's really not that much. It's a slight overpay.
And it wouldn't have taken six.
It wouldn't have taken six. He would have taken 80% of that.
I mean, maybe they offer him 2 years, $10 million, five guaranteed, and he does it to stay with Brady because he's better off here than he is playing with that converted wide receiver, Ryan Tannehill, in Miami.
He's done nothing but take discount after discount after discount. So, you know, you'd have to give him some money. It couldn't be – he's not going to keep doing that. But I don't know. I don't think he had to beat the Miami Dolphins to keep this player.
Hey, look, at some point, a guy's going to be human. So if that means Amendola reaches a stage where he says, go pound sand, I don't blame him.
Yeah, I think he wanted a financial bump, but not that much. I think he wanted the respect there, too. And that respect was gone because he was more Tom's guy than Bill's guy.
He was the most productive wide receiver in the postseason in the NFL last year. Most catches, most yards, most first downs. Like, you know, so if he's not going to turn down into cash, when's he going to do it?
That's fine. Cordarrelle Patterson will be the same.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I don't know. I'm actually pretty high on Kenny Britt myself, Murray. That ought to go well.
Jake in Andover, what do you got for us tonight?
So I'm jumping in on the Gronk thing, and I know you guys were talking about yesterday, listing out the contracts, like the top 20 receivers and everything. And Felger, I know you're sitting there saying, do not reinvent the position. Do not pay him the max money because that's what tight ends make. And I know you said you're a fan of the cast system. So what do we have at receiver core right now? We have Julian Edelman, who hasn't seen the football field efficiently for 14 months. A bunch of guys off injury, guys who've never worked with Brady, you know, well enough. So we have Gronk, who's his number one, the number one tight end, number one possibly ever. This is the chance where I think the guys like Jimmy Graham, Travis Kelce, Gronkowski, they're different from tight ends of 30, 40 years ago. I mean, you had a couple of gems like Tony Gonzalez.
Yes, hold on, Jake. Jake, you're giving me too much. I get it. I understand all of that. think the Pats are in the the Pats won't give Danny Amendola $6 million. You think they're in the business to totally reset and flip and alter the entire league pay scale at a certain position to make one position more valuable than the next? They're not going to do that.
No, but in this case, they should give the guy something.
And they probably will. But again, I would not be surprised. And did Phil Perry say something like this last night on NBC Sports Boston? I would not be surprised. Murray and I said it yesterday, that Gronk gets no bump. He's just reporting because he doesn't want to get traded to Cleveland. And if I'm the team, like I'm with the team a little bit on that. I just am. I know how important he is and how good he is. He's also threatened retirement and running around like a jackass every offseason.
I mean, to me, they should give him something here. Again, you just keep the guy happy. It's not that big a sacrifice. He deserves to be the highest paid player at his position in the league.
Speak and you shall receive. What did he say, Jimmy?
What if he's going to show up to everything? He's going to come to training camp. He's going to show up. And he's going to. What if he's prepared to play on the contract?
Yeah, well, what happens, happens if he gets traded?
So well, what do you think?
There's probably more drama than we're assuming. But I think that to me feels like a stretch. Like to me, my assumption at this point is that he may even play on this contract, even if he is underpaid. And I think there is a greater chance of that happening than the Patriots trading him. Unless
he
makes a real
sting. You have to put a percentage on it. What percentage do you think there is that he gets traded?
That he gets traded?
Yes.
I would say 10 to 12%.
Okay, but see, they're related. The only reason he would come and play under his existing contract is because the alternative is to get his ass traded. So, okay, fine, I'll play for 9. That's the whole point. You know, there's no trade because he's accepting the contract. I think that's possible.
Well, look, again, just go through the timeline on the Gronk thing. You know, the whole thing was him holding out at the beginning, not committing to anything until they get to the draft and they needed to know what he was going to do because it maybe affected their draft plans. They were scouting the tight end down in South Carolina, right? So they're looking at that and they say, all right, Gronk. And then Gronk pulls his motocross act and Belichick finally calls him and says, okay, listen up, stupid. Are you playing or not? Because I got to know. So if you're going to ride dirt bikes around and act like an asshat, then fine. Let us know because we're drafting a tight end and I'll ship your ass to Cleveland. Otherwise, let us know if you're playing because we want to have you if you want to play under your existing deal. But I have to believe there were reports out. Wasn't it Schefter early on who said that they had begun discussions?
Jeff Howe has them. I think it was Jeff Howe was really reporting that.
Okay, that they had begun discussions on reworking the contract,
yep.
But that they were not close to a deal yet. Right?
I don't know. I just that.
In any case, I look, to me, he's going to end up with something. It might not be what he wanted. My guess is he wanted guaranteed money, more guaranteed money. And I'm willing to bet they gave him incentives.
Okay. This Patriots stuff, the Kawhi Leonard stuff, the Marcus Smart stuff, the Kyrie Irving stuff. All of your thoughts on those items right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Third down and 18 for the Patriots. Dorsett to the right, along with Allen. Two receivers left. Shotgun snap to Brady. A twist up front. Brady shuffles left, throws down the middle, and a catch is made at the 46-yard line by Amendola. Whew. Danny fights for the football and takes it away from the safety to Sean Gibson. What a throw by Brady.
Playoff.
And sliding left.
Playoff Dola right there.
Not to belabor it, but yeah, what the hell, we're belaboring it. Third and 18, your own 25-yard line, 10:49 remaining in the fourth quarter. You're down 20-10. Got Jackson going on in this game. You're getting Jacksoned by Jackson DeVille and the Jacksonville Jaguars. AFC Championship game, third and 18 coming out of your own end. Brady had taken a sack a couple plays before. Again, another sack. Nothing going on. Third and 18, and there's Amendola. That's the play. That's the play. There was a punt return in there too, Murray, that you keep referencing I did forget.
So it's 2017, and I want to say there's like 3 and change remaining. And, you know, they had a stalled drive, and then Jacksonville does Jacksonville things. They're trying to run it up the gut with Leonard Fournette, even though I like him. They're idiots.
Thank you.
And so they punt. And it's kind of a short punt.
Right around midfield.
And Amendola takes it probably another 15 yards
so
or so.
So here it is, Amendola for 20 on the punt return. You start that drive. You know where you started that drive?
I think it was
38.
It was around the 30, wasn't it?
30. You start on the Jacksonville 30 with 4:58 remaining.
And the Patriots had to run the ball to kill the clock.
Down 20-17.
And that's the drive where they end up going ahead, touchdown to Amendola. But I'll tell you, the drive before, it looks like they got nothing. And the ball's clanging off the hands of James White. It's like, oh, geez. To rewatch that thing last night was so jarring. Because, again, remember being there, you're caught up in the moment. I did remember, boy, this place felt like a morgue. And you hear it again. It's Amendola. Amendola is the reason they win that game and go to the Super Bowl. And they are desperately going to miss him this year. At least Brady will.
Matt in Hanover, do you agree or disagree?
I actually disagree. I have 2 points, one on the Pats and one on the Celtics. But I don't really think that Amendola was very clutch in the playoffs, but with Edelman and Gronk, so like I'm saying, if they stay healthy, I really don't think that Amendola is going to be as huge of a factor, because like Amendola and Edelman are basically the same position. So if Edelman's out there healthy, he could, I mean, I'm not saying that Amendola isn't clutch, but he could take those big moments, you know what I mean? Just like he did in Super Bowl 51.
So I think you have it wrong. I think they're different guys. Amendola's a nice fill-in for Edelman, but what Amendola is just another guy that Brady looks to, and maybe looks to more than he would normally in those big situations, because you're going second or third read, because everyone's keying on Gronkowski, Edelman, and those other guys. So he knows Amendola is going to have that matchup versus the third corner or a safety or something like this. So
yeah, to
me, the guy that's going to, you know, you better hope Malcolm Mitchell makes a big move, or that Chris Hogan,
yeah, like him too,
or if becomes that guy, right?
Exactly. And then my thought on the Celtics, do you guys think if Marcus Smart gets signed to that contract, like 12 or 13 million a year, that would that take away from, would that kind of handicap them going in the future, like trying to sign Jaylen Brown or Tatum to keep those big four on, like staying on the Celtics, you know what I mean?
Yes, it depends how much Wick wants to go into the luxury tax. So the cap, you can re-sign your own players and go over the cap. So they're able to do it cap-wise. How much are they willing to spend luxury tax-wise? And that's the issue with Marcus Smart, the tax.
But I don't think it's going to stop them from signing Brown or Tatum.
It shouldn't.
Do you?
It shouldn't, but
Hayward will be gone by then.
I'm just telling you, down the line.
Or Horford, I mean, Hayward might be gone by then.
The repeater tax, again, I'm just going off of B-Rob from last week, that the you know there was real value in keeping Marcus Smart low this year, because it would push back that repeater tax by 1 year. And I think it's a factor with this ownership group. I do. I would hate to think it's, you know, they wouldn't sign one of those guys because of it, but it'll show up somewhere. I think it'll show up somewhere. I mean, when you get to the luxury tax, you're talking real dollars. We're not talking cap dollars. Here's Jason in Bridgewater on Amendola. Hi, Jason.
How you doing? I completely disagree. I don't think they should have re-signed Amendola for that money. He's old for a receiver, especially with all the injuries he's had. He's concussion waiting to happen. And in 5 years with the Pats, he's scored 12 total touchdowns. Now, I get he's was clutch in the playoffs, but so wasn't Desmond Howard.
It's like Desmond Howard was clutch in the playoffs 1 year with a kick return. So don't give me that comparison, please. That's a joke. But, I mean, this I know is going to happen. Amendola is going to go to Miami. He's going to get hurt. He's not going to be productive. It's going to be a crap show down there between Ryan Tannehill and a team that has no direction. And you'll be like, they do it again. You still want Amendola? My answer is going to be yes. Yes. Amendola in Miami makes no sense. Makes no sense in Miami. He makes sense for a good team with a reliable quarterback who wants to look for reliable guys who can get open late and just get open and catch the ball late. And so he would make perfect sense here. He makes no sense in Miami. He ain't going to do squat down there. Here, he's there when Brady needs him. Circle of trust guy. And they let him go over $6 million, which really isn't much.
I mean, the decision for him really was, you know, look, I've won my rings. I want my money. I mean, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, but even you said he wouldn't have required the full.
No, it wouldn't have taken all that. And I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just saying he's got a couple of rings. He took lots of pay cuts to get his rings. At some point, he deserved to get paid. I don't blame him. I don't blame him in the least bit.
We've got here on line 3, Bill and Lynn for Jim Murray. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Jim, I got an idea for you. The idea is this. You introduced Happy, whatever his name is, Walters, at a press conference as the new agent of David Price.
There are so many possibilities there.
That was a long way of saying, caller, dance for me, Murray.
All right, everyone. Woohoo! I have my newest client here. You'd all hate him, but you're going to learn to love him now. Everybody, welcome. David Price.
Hey, guys. It's my new agent, Happy Walters. Still going to be the same mope.
there, happy.
Happy Walters gets his money. Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like the deal, because you're bailing out Happy Walters, who did everything wrong in this thing, and his client's still going to get his money. Ryan joins us next in Easton. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, guys, I just can't stop thinking about how this Garoppolo trade is going to essentially ruin the Pats. I mean, I know we've talked about it back and forth, but I think the way Brady's acting and going forward, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about the Brady Circle of Trust. We should be talking about Garoppolo going forward as the new quarterback of this team. I am the biggest Brady fan, but it was time to move on. They should have traded him, and they should have went with Garoppolo. And I just feel like all together we might lose the coach, the quarterback, and Garoppolo at the end of the day because we went with Brady. I mean, how many years do you have left? One, two, maybe three? But he does look old, and I just don't have a good feeling. I think it's the worst offseason they've had in a long time.
Brady has not looked old. He does not look old on the field. He has not looked old off the field.
He looks old in Costa Rica.
He just won the MVP.
Okay, so he doesn't look old. Until this picture in his bathing suit where you could maybe potentially say he gained a pound and a half.
Oh, gosh, would you stop?
And Maz turned into like 20 pounds he's put on or something.
He's gained between 5 and 10. I can tell you, I know. It's more than a pound.
We all know. We all know what it's like to gain 5 to 10 pounds. Do it like that.
I mean, he could gain a pound by not taking a leak for 2 hours, for crying out loud. It's more than a pound.
Couple pounds.
It's got to be 5 to 10.
Couple pounds.
Seriously, he's been eating bonbons in Costa Rica, whatever he's been eating down there. Popping marshmallows, hot fudge sundaes, fried dough, donuts. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah,
whatever
he's been shoving s'mores and donuts in his face. You really believe that?
Based on how he looks, yeah.
No, Maz, would you stop with that?
He looks a little chubby.
Like that he's stuffing desserts in his face.
Well, he's eating something.
I think it's more like liquor bloat a little bit is what it looks like.
Liquor bloat. So now you think he's drinking a lot. Yeah, you guys,
it's
seriously.
It's summertime.
No wonder we have this reputation. You've got him, you know, pounding Bud Heavies, and you've got him shoving sundaes in his face.
Have you seen the pictures of him?
It's a little, he looks a little less tight.
Flabby is the word you're looking for.
If that's flabby, then we're in a lot of trouble, man.
He's flabby.
If that's flabby, then we are in a great deal of trouble.
You know what?
The rest of us, mankind. Because if that's flabby, then we are all fat hippopotamuses. You know,
dare I say that he's eating carbs?
I detect a defensiveness in your voice with this, Felger, because you kind of have the same kind of diet, right? And I feel like there's a concern and defensiveness here that if you tend to party a little bit too hard on the island this summer, you too will have us mocking you saying, look, got a little doughy.
Puffed up like a tick just in 10 days. Are you kidding me?
The return of fat.
There's no question. He's coming. He's right there. No, but I just want to be fair. And like, if I'm going to fat shame Brady, well, who the hell am I? Like, what am I?
You're fat Felger.
You know, even when I was fat, but even if when I've slimmed down, like, would you stop with that? I mean, but I think just the fact that he's put on a couple is reason enough just to say, huh? So you wait for the kid to leave to put on a couple.
I bet you he's eating pizza down there. That's what pizza and ice cream and all kinds of stuff. Look at him. I'm telling you, he looks like the freaking doughboy, for crying out loud. You chubby little Stay Puff Marshmallow Man taking snaps this year.
That's not right.
Are we still sure he's showing up tomorrow?
I still love that, Jimmy. Why is it tomorrow? It's a week from tomorrow is when camp starts.
Whenever camp opens up. Are we sure he's going to show up?
Well, we know who's going to be first in line at the calf.
Here's the update from Murray. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Happy Walters?
Happy Walters.
It's Happy Walters. It's not a name that conjures up the likes of some of the great sports agents of all time, like Drew Rosenhaus. Instead, it's Happy Walters, which, again, as I've said over the last couple of days here with Maz, I'd like to think that Happy Walters comes in. You ready to deal, Danny? Ready for Happy Walters? Let's make a deal. Woohoo! Oh,
I freaking love it.
And instead, he actually looks like a finance bro when he's a ex-Hollywood agent and, you know, ex-producer and whatnot. But that name, man, I don't know how you can't have fun with it. Well, it's time to get a deal done. Who's here? Happy Walters! Woohoo! Dance for me, Danny! Woohoo!
That's so great.
Oh, wait. I don't think I like that deal at all. Money's going down. Woo-hoo-hoo. What's that? Oh. Money's going up for Marcus. Woo-hoo. Happy Walters is here. I don't know how anyone could take that guy seriously.
Well, who's laughing now? Happy Walters, agent for Marcus Smart. Looks like he got his client some money. Thanks to Danny Ainge, the largesse of the Celtics and Danny Ainge overpaying. They don't have to pay him this money, but they're doing it, apparently. That's on the table along with everything else. I got some Patriots stuff mixed in, some Red Sox stuff mixed in, whatever you want.
I'd like to think that Happy Walters is all cocky about it, too.
Well, hoo-hoo! Look what the cat dragged in. Come crawling back, didn't you, Danny? Hoo-hoo! Sounds like money's going up. Hoo-hoo! Got you over a barrel. Gotcha.
Seriously, he's got it. He should consider changing his name.
Steve.
Hopefully, again, hopefully the stuff's gotten back to him a little bit.
Steve Walters.
Even though, I mean, we looked it up. It is what his mother named him. I mean, it's just, you can't help it. Happy David. Happy David Walters.
There's a middle name. There's a real middle name, dude. Go with
David.
That.
Yeah, I'd go with David.
You'd think at one point, one of these players like Marcus Smart and Lawrence Noel, like, look, man, you get your 6%. Can you just go with the middle name?
No.
Tremendous. Back to the phones. Eileen and Bill Ricca. What do you got for us on the NBA, Eileen?
Well, here's my question for you guys. If you're Magic Johnson and you've got a head case like this Kawhi Leonard that thinks he's coming to L.A., and he's not going to play in USA basketball and he might dog it for the Raptors, how do you even know he still has it?
It's a little bit of a leap of faith, I suppose. A little bit of a leap of faith, but you just say that this is a guy that, you know, really went sour on where he was playing and shut it down. But hey, look, it's the NBA guy. Shut it down and he'll be fine when he's in the place he wants to be at.
See, it's part of the reason I think he does have to play in Toronto. And when I say play, I mean try.
Show that he's healthy.
Yeah, because, you know, I just think even just to stay in shape. Like, when's the last time he played a meaningful 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, I think he's got to legitimately put in the effort to stay sharp.
Let's grab a couple of Red Sox calls here. We've got Dan in Brighton. What do you got, Danny?
Hi, I'm calling because I think JBJ needs to go. I think the Red Sox could probably trade him and get somebody to lift at the bottom of the order a little bit. Now, do you think it's possible that the Red Sox could look to trade him? And do you think they can get a better yes. bat to lift at the bottom of their order by getting rid of a better hoodie?
I'm not worried about a better bat. You can bring up anything from Pawtucket or just rework your current roster and get somebody to hit better than 205. So I'm not worried about that. Improving the bat's easy. Improving the bat from, again, Pawtucket. I need relief help. So JBJ is the one that I'm using because I think there is still some value there. He's got another year or two of team control left. He might be a nice National League ball player. He's hit better in the last couple of weeks. Maybe get someone stupid out there to think that he's a good everyday ball player and he'd give you a good reliever for him. I would absolutely do that.
Do you think they will move him?
No, they like him.
See, I don't think they'll move him either. And because I think they look at it and say, you know what? We're adding to our big league team. That's the old baseball cliche. We're adding to the big league roster. We're not subtracting from it. So they're going to keep him. Unfortunately.
Mike in New Hampshire, your Red Sox thought.
All right. So, hi. I think the Red Sox should go after Zach Britton. There's a bit, I'm worried about the gap between a potential whoever starts in a playoff game and Craig Kimbrell. That's, you got to have that guy who can bridge multiple innings, and I think Zach Britton can do it, or if Kimbrell's being overworked, you can use him in the closer role.
Okay, there's no question that's their number one need as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, Britton's a guy that should be on their list. I think he is. I don't know if they have what it takes to get him, because I think a lot of teams are going to want him. And look, if you were to ask me to draw it up perfectly, I would want a guy who's currently closing at short dollars in a, you know, smaller middle market. I keep citing the guy in Cincinnati. Because when Kimbrell goes, you then have a closer for next year. His name's Raisel Iglesias. And so, you know, I'd go for a guy like that who's got two or three more years at $5.5 million. The problem is, I don't know if the Red Sox have what it takes to get him.
Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, I don't know if Cincinnati. I mean, they've already got one bum in center field who can't hit. What do they want, two? Like Billy Hamilton, and now they want another guy like that? So I just, to get a guy like that, you're going to have to give up prospects. Iglesias, I mean, and I just don't know if the Red Sox have the horses.
Barbara and Beverly with the Patriots thought for us. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you guys? Good. I haven't called in a long time.
Listen,
real quick, I just wanted to say, Bill Belichick, I despise the man. He decimated the defense. He's decimating the offense. What he did to Malcolm Butler at the Super Bowl was unforgivable. I just hope that, like, when he goes away, it's soon, because I don't understand it. I don't understand. And Danny Amendola, really? You don't keep him and give him $6 million? It's sad. At any rate, that's all I had to say.
Okay, thanks for the call. Despise is a little strong, but I don't know, Murray. Do you agree with her?
No, I don't agree with her. That's way strong. But, you know, he's lost a lot of the shine with me and I think other fans in recent years. From 2015 on, look, some decisions, there's been some real decisions made by Bill Belichick that you can't defend. The end of 2015, how he handled all those games and just throwing away the one seed so they end up playing in Denver. That didn't work out for him. The stupid game against the Eagles there with the
mortar kick.
The mortar kick and all of that. And then, look, I'm not over the Malcolm Butler thing, and I never will be, because it's indefensible. We're never really going to get an answer from it, maybe unless he writes a book 20 years from now. It just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, he's the greatest coach of all time, but he's lost a little bit of the shine here in the last few years.
I mean, it's amazing, really,
as how he's much... won two out of the last three.
Okay, but he lost the last one.
Yeah, that's a tough standard.
I mean, that Butler...
In an inexcusable fashion.
I mean, that Butler decision really has... I don't know that we've seen anything like it. Talk about one that is sticking that won't go away. Bill's still fighting that one off. The decision just blows you away. Like that he could stick with it the way he did and not put Butler in that game.
And last year's offseason, too, you know, the Dwayne Allen move, Coney Ealy, the trade for Brandon Cooks, 2-year deal for Alan Branch. Like, there's a lot in there in these last couple of years. Okay, yeah, they won that, you know, great in a few years ago when they beat Atlanta. But this last year and bit of 2015, there's been some bad stuff here by this guy.
Ryan here in Dorchester. Yes, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Love the new studio, by the way.
Thank you.
About Danny Amendola, his clutchness has come through for us time and time again. If you look at this past postseason and last year's postseason, if you go all the way even back to the year against Seattle in the Super Bowl, you don't beat Baltimore without him scoring two touchdowns on the sideline and then
no
on that
question.
Trick play.
No question. Absolutely. Good job with the Baltimore game in 2014 as well. That's one we left out. His 2014 game that, you know, he was, which end of the double pass was he? Did he throw it or did he catch it?
He caught it.
Edelman threw it.
Yeah, right. I mean, he is there. He is there in the big ones. In that Baltimore game, he caught 5 catches on 6 targets with 2 touchdowns. And, you know, that's what you find repeatedly in these games. His efficiency. That Baltimore game, 5 catches on 6 targets. In the Super Bowl that year against Seattle, 5 catches on 7 targets with the fourth quarter touchdown. The AFC title game that you lost in Denver, he even had 5 grabs for 39 yards on 8 targets. You go to the AFC title game win over Pittsburgh. Not that it matters, but 2 for 2. You get to the Super Bowl against Atlanta, 8 catches on 11 targets, including a fourth quarter touchdown and 2-point conversion. The Tennessee divisional game this year that I'm sorry, I can't remember a single play from.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. Like,
but it's on here. So 11 catches on 13 targets. Not that you needed it, but I seriously, I can't remember a single play from that game. It's unbelievable. They've had so many of those. That's a divisional playoff game. I can't remember a single thing. Refresh my memory. Give me one play from that game, would you please?
I remember that Chris Hogan caught a touchdown, and he was wide open. He chucked it up into the stands. That's the one thing that immediately comes to mind.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
I can't remember a single play.
The Pittsburgh one, you said?
No,
the
Tennessee.
Divisional game.
Oh, sorry.
Tennessee.
God bless it.
It was a Saturday night.
I was zoning out.
Yeah. If I asked you quickly who they even played in the division round last year, it'd be like the – it was Tennessee. Do you remember the score? No. Can you remember a single play? Like that tells you that, you know, that tomato can game. It's just like
that game was useless.
Oh, they've it's so much better than everyone that these divisional games aren't even memorable. But anyway, Amendola, 11 catches on 13 targets. The AFC title game against Jacksonville, 7 catches on 9 targets. Like, there's an efficiency there. Brady finds them, goes to them, they complete it in these big games. That's a guy you should have kept. We've got line 6, Andrew again here in Dorchester on the Celts. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, Felga? What's up, guys? Hey, just one thing. The Murray thing, the clown thing, I think that's funny as hell. But okay, going on to Kawhi Leonard. Now, I know, just say if he's healthy and everything works out, do you think the Celtics are still the number one team in the East? Or
We do.
Yes.
But Maz thinks it's less than us.
Yeah, I don't think the gap is huge. Kawhi Leonard is legit. I mean, Toronto's better. Toronto's better. So Toronto's better than they were last year. I don't mean that they're better than the Celtics. And the other thing that's irritating me is, like, we're all assuming that, you know, Hayward and Irving comes back and the thing runs seamlessly. And you know what? It might. But, like, what? How do we know that Stevens isn't going to have some sort of issue with this team? That all of a sudden you get all these guys who want the ball and that Tatum and Brown now fancy themselves as starters. And who the hell knows? I'm just telling you, it's going to take a little time to come together.
The only person in America that is going to crap on the Celtics team that is far and away the best team in the East.
and I will wear it like a badge of honor, Murray.
The final word comes your way next. Are we doing Gunner talk in the final word?
Oh, you better believe we're doing 19-0 talk.
So is Gunner talk 19-0 talk? Is this the year anniversary?
It's a year anniversary of this battle between Cattles and Jones. Shut up, Matt.
This is a great one.
One of the great snippiest
little spitting matches
we've ever had here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And that's saying something. Coming up next in the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and grade-free services.
Came.
Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. So 1 year ago today, after all the moves.
I love how we're now treating this like as a year anniversary thing. Like the
this was a great
this
piece
was amazing.
Of audio. After all the moves made by Bill Belichick, Dwayne Allen, they trade for him. Coney Ealy, they trade for him. 2 year deal for Alan Branch. They signed Mike Gillisley. The Patriots looked like they were going to get the back page of the Boston Herald to declare them best team ever. Talk of 19-0 filled the airwaves, including on the Adam Jones Show nights here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, where a certain someone
wasn't having it,
was not having the talk of 19-0.
And I would never rule out them going undefeated. I would never rule that out based on their track record.
Who's ruling them out? Who's saying they won't go? I'm saying to talk about it before they kick the football off the first week of the year is insane to me.
I think with most teams, actually every other team, the 31 other franchises, yes, that would be insane. This team with their track record, not insane.
I mean,
not insane at all.
So they've gone undefeated before?
No, they haven't.
Okay, so they lost one game, right? In 07?
Yeah.
08 season? Okay, let's talk about Carolina then.
I mean, they went 15-1 on regular season. We talked about plenty of other things. I don't have to comment. He says it's stupid. I think it couldn't be anything further from stupid to talk about.
I know, but you just said that Edelman saying that is understandable. So if his comment had been talked about. Yeah.
And I
started this show last night with the same topic and said it was ridiculous
I don't get
about. I don't get why people are afraid to talk about it. It's because it's July 18th. We're 2 months before the season even kicks off.
Okay, but how many times have we talked about how they're head and shoulders better than the rest of the league? We've read different stories, different metrics, advanced metrics. We talked about it. They are head and shoulders above the league. They're the defending champions and they got better.
Yeah, so going into
how much better are they? They might be undefeated better. I don't think that's a stupid thing to talk about or an out of bounds thing to discuss.
Again, it's not out of bounds. You're mixing things here. It's not out of bounds. It's not unfair. And I hate talking about something that could happen 5 months down the line.
Like the Super Bowl?
On July.
We shouldn't talk about whether or not they can win the Super Bowl.
Again, you keep moving the goalposts.
I'm not moving the goalposts. I'm responding to what you said. You said 5 months from now. The Super Bowl is 5 months from now. We can't talk about that.
What I'm talking about is going 19 or understanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you talk about the Super Bowl. Listen, you could talk about the Super Bowl months removed. That's not what I do. If you want to do it, go ahead. I'll be sitting on the sidelines watching you talk about this for the next 4 months until your face turns blue. What I'm saying is, I don't think it's worthwhile.
They are head and shoulders better than the rest of the league. How much better? They might be undefeated better. And again, I don't think that's stupid to talk about.
Sorry. Couldn't help but laugh there at the money line.
That's not what I do.
No, it's not what I do. No. You, Mike, go talk about what you want. That's not what I do. I don't do that. Murray, whatever I don't do that. Okay, no, that's not my...
Because you're above it, Maz.
It's not my thing. Yeah. I don't do that. That's not what I do.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.